Good afternoon. Today is Monday, January the 2nd, the second day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is, we're going to forget the interim part.
Okay.
Eureka Police Chief Merle Harpham. Hey, Merle, how you doing?
Good.
Holidays okay?
Oh, yeah, so far.
Well, step at a time, man, step at a time. And depending on how you define holiday, it could be all year long, which is kind of the theme of the program. We're going to talk a little bit about what 2011 was and maybe what Merle sees in store for 2012. Well, at least the first little bit of 2012. How's that?
Right.
All right. We won't project too far into the future, but we will have 2020 hindsight when we return.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time is 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said, "The measure of great leaders is their success in bringing everyone around to their opinion 20 years later."
Okay.
Yeah. So that starts to, yeah, doesn't it, though? How is 2011 going to be remembered?
Oh, boy.
At least from local law enforcement.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be remembered as a busy year, I'm sure. And also, you know, we lost mid-year, June. We lost the chief. And so I was appointed to fill in until they decided to hire a new chief. And we had... You know, we had a POP unit that was very active. I can't, you know, off the top of my head, quote the statistics, but they were very successful. They made an awful lot of major drug arrests, took a lot of people off the street that were wanted. We dealt with an awful lot of parole violators that a lot of them had were absconded from parole. And so, yeah, it was... a busy year.
I've never heard anybody sitting in the chair say that it was a really slow year.
No, well, maybe that's coming this year.
That's not one of your expectations, though, for 2012.
Well, I like to think positive.
There you go. There you go. You mentioned the turnover at the police chief position. One of the things that I saw, at least, or felt from the outside, is a lack of disruption. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it was a smooth transition.
Because the department is so strong and the structure is so strong? So how do you improve something that's that strong for the upcoming year?
Well, you try and keep your head above water and plod along, and we're going to be doing some things I think that'll be good. You know, we've lost a lot of people, good people, and we're in the process of replacing them. And we've got a lot of irons in the fire right now as far as that goes. We've got five open positions right now, and then of course we have the three people that just got back from Afghanistan, the three officers that were there for over a year, and one of them starts the 24th of this month, and the other two will come on back on board within about a week of that, just about the end of the month.
Are you concerned, Merle, at all about the reassimilation of those fellows?
No, you know, one of them I've known for a long time. He started with us as a, 19, 20-year-old, something like that, as a reserve and as a dispatcher. Once the sheriff's office became a deputy for several years, and now he's back with us, and he was part of the POP team, the original, when we first put it together. And so I don't have any issues with him. He's gone to overseas before while he was with us. And so I don't have any concerns at all with him. The other two, they're pretty stable people. And one of them has been in the military for a number of years. In fact, he's a sergeant. And I'm sure, you know, they're going to fit right back in again.
So he was a sergeant in the military?
Right.
Rank of the, at EPD?
An officer, police officer.
I wonder if that was relief.
Well, you know, he did a great job as a sergeant. In fact, he earned the Bronze Star. As a sergeant, because he did such an outstanding job and took charge of so many different things. They were missing some, you know, higher ranks, and he kind of took over their jobs for them, and the colonel saw that he got the Bronze Star for doing that.
So I would imagine that when a promotional opportunity pops up, things like that, military service, you factor in?
Yes. For a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is the discipline and the taking care of themselves, you know. When I started, everybody on the department had either been in the Korean War or World War II. And they knew how to wear a uniform. They knew how to take care of themselves. They knew a chain of command, which is very important in a paramilitary organization like ours. And so then there was a period of time, the Vietnam War, we were not getting the same caliber of people, with a few exceptions. We got some pretty good people out of the Vietnam War, but we didn't get we couldn't get a lot of them because they were in, you know, another part of the world where drugs was pretty prevalent, and a lot of them got involved in drugs. And of course that showed up when we do polygraphs and things like that, when we test these people. And so we didn't get a very good quality person in that era. But now we're back in this era, and the people that we're getting back from Iraq and Afghanistan, they are super people. No drug problems, very goal-oriented. Good discipline, and they realized what the chain of command means.
KINS, News and Information Times, 422. We'll be back with more from Merle Harpum.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 425. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpum. Merle, you mentioned that there are 5 slots available at EPD right now. Are they all entry level?
Yes.
So,
well, there's one, the Chiefs. But
okay.
I'm not counting that slot.
Okay. Why not go out to the academy and just pick off from the graduating class?
Well, it's not that easy. We looked at a few that were in this present class that just graduated, and none of them would qualify for our department.
Culturally? Or
a lot of reasons.
Just
why.
A bunch?
Yeah, just a lot of different reasons.
Because aren't a lot of the staff and faculty? You guys know each other well,
right.
So
yes.
They know what you're looking for, and you know
exactly
what they say when they say things.
Right.
Are there that many other academies in the region that you can choose from?
No, but we are looking at several people from the last academy, and right now some of those are looking real good. This the previous academy, not the one that just graduated last month. the one that just graduated last month, I don't think we're looking at any from that group right now.
When the department does its look, are you looking at individuals today, or are you also looking for individuals, say, in 5 years or in 10 years, where that individual might have capabilities? Can they go up the ladder?
Sure.
Do they have leadership potential, or are they just great, but they're going to be great just being an officer?
Well, they have to, before they can go up the ladder, they have to be a police officer first. It's like, as an example would be, appointing someone to a canine position. They have to be a police officer first before they can become a canine officer. You can't just come in out of the academy and suddenly become a canine officer. Same with the old town officer that we selected, the school resource officer that we select. We don't want to put somebody out there that hasn't worked the streets, and so that's why we have veteran officers that are moved into those positions.
So when you're hiring, you have those considerations already as part of the process?
Sure.
What about laterals?
Oh, laterals are great. they have a track record. They have a history. And so, we hired one fellow from Orrville, a 7-year veteran, was the department's going through some problems there with financially, and he was going to survive that, but he looked into the future and thought, if it's that bad this year, what's it going to be like next year? So I'm gonna get out and go to a place that it looks a little more sound
stable.
More stable. And he looked at Eureka, and we are kind of stable. We're looking at 5 years of being real stable, and we've got extra money in our budget right now for the police department. A lot of it is because of the chief salary that we're saving, and also the five positions that we're saving. So some of that money is eaten up through overtime because we have people that aren't able to fill those slots yet.
The four officer positions, when you look at four new ones coming on board at one fell swoop, not necessarily new officers, but new to the community.
Right.
Is that a large number? Are you concerned that too many at one time?
No, it's a large number. When you put it in the terms, it's a large percent of our organization. Five people is a large percent of the total 51 sworn that we have. It does. When we hire, right now we're looking at we're only looking at one lateral that's in the works right now. That's probably going to be hired before the end of this month. The other ones that we're looking at right now, and there's eight, they're all entry level. And that's going to put a strain on our training, because we only have so many FTOs, and they spend 4 months training with an FTO, field training officer. And so, it does put a strain on those officers, because they're constantly in the training mode. Right now we only have one officer in a training mode, and so it's the other only one FTO is busy. The other ones are kicking back right now.
Just being cops.
But when we put these other people on, then they're going to be, they're not going to get any available time for themselves, because they're going to be constantly in a training mode.
Do they lose that much efficiency when they're doing that? When they're training a newbie?
Do they lose efficiency? No, in fact they're gaining, because a teacher is always learning, and that's what they are. They're teachers, and it's a learning process when you're teaching somebody else.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:31. We'll be back with more from Earl Harpum.
Now, a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the Lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the Lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the Lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Merle Harpum. Merle, in the situation that we're dealing with now, 2011, moving into 12, moved, I guess, is probably the more accurate term, into 12, the fact that you aren't able to drive stakes into the desk called the chief, does that matter that much?
No.
The department just functions regardless of who's in front?
Well,
or on top or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, to a degree, yeah. I mean, you have to have someone at top that they respect and they're going to have faith in and they're gonna be supportive.
Do you need a chief?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Someone has to be at the top to be held accountable and be responsible. And so, yeah, I guess you do. Now, you know, when I started years ago, the kind of the joke was that the department was run by the sergeants because you didn't see that much of the chief. That's in the past, but we had strong sergeants. Every one of them was a former serviceman. Most of them were ex-Marines. In fact, two sergeants I had in a row there were both ex-Marines. One of them had been on Iwo Jima, and was one of two people that survived out of his company. Out of 55 men, there was only two that survived, and he was one of them. And he had shrapnel in one arm, and he was he knew the people that raised the flag, and it was quite interesting. He never talked about it though until after he retired.
What are the duties of the chief?
Well, to keep the community happy for one.
Okay, the PR link,
right?
Yeah.
And with me, I've got so many contacts in the community, having been just by being here so long, that I deal with phone calls every day from people who want to talk to someone that they know as opposed to some young officer that they've never met yet.
So some of those are Merle calls.
Yeah, a lot of them are. Calls. Yeah, right. Well, they're still chief's calls, but a lot of them could be handled by an officer, but they'd rather deal with me.
So in that kind of a setting, who does the budgets? Who does the business side?
Well,
of the
that's my determination of who's going to do that, and I'm a Ronald Reagan believer in a Ronald Reagan style leadership. Surround yourself with people smarter than you to get the job done, and that's what I do. I've got two people that are very good at budget, and they like it. I don't care for it. I'm not very good with figures. And so I have two people that take care of that for me.
You mentioned earlier that there was a slight surplus because of the open positions.
Right.
Do those dollars get reabsorbed back into the organization, those that aren't being absorbed by overtime? Or does that give you an opportunity to buy a training thing or to send somebody to training? Or
To some degree, yeah.
Kind of upgrading.
Right, to some degree. But a lot of it, we try to, try whatever we can to get turned back into the budget, too.
So as you look at the early part of 2012, what do you see for the department?
Well, there's a lot of things that we're striving to do. For instance, the next we've got an old town officer now. He's down there 4 days a week. And we have 6 days a week covered down there because we have a part-time officer that came back, retired after 30 years with us, and he comes in 2 days a week and covers Old Town, and then the other one, the full-time officer, works the other 4 days down there. And so that position is back, and to a delight of a lot of people in the Old Town area. And the next position we're shooting for, which I think will occur towards the end of this month, and that's the NOP position, neighborhood-oriented policing. It'll work with the POP guys. We'll be assigned under that team, but he'll do more neighborhood issues. The POP guys do mostly, they're still neighborhood issues, but they're mostly have to do with the drug issues in neighborhoods. The POP guy will, or the NOP guy will deal with any issues in neighborhoods.
So kind of getting back into the, you guys see it as the neighborhood cop, I see it as the Arnie Millsap. That mode where there are assigned tasks.
Right.
Efficiencies associated with that, or just ability for those officers to be able to focus on areas so that they can become the expert in those
right.
areas.
Right, and again, it's usually somebody, we don't put a rookie in there. We put somebody that has, you know, a little time on the department. Usually we limit it to they have a minimum of 3 years on the department as an officer before they go into a specialist position.
KINS, I guess that's my cue. KINS, News and Information Times 441. We'll be back with more from Merle Harpham.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 4:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham. Merle, 2012, we had Virginia Bass and Mike Newman on last Wednesday talking about the extreme, let's see if I can get it right, extreme winter weather shelter. Did I get it right?
Right.
That's disturbing, isn't it? Yeah, some of the stuff's sticking for me now. We do have the wet season that will arrive. We do have the cold season that will arrive.
It's been here.
Yeah, well, I meant the physically cold side.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit. You've got still the encampments around the community, as well as the one that's out in front of the courthouse. Do you see anything that would make this year different than last year in some of those areas?
No, I don't. I'm on several homeless task force committees. In fact, we got one meeting next Tuesday morning again. And, you know, I've said that whoever comes up with a solution to the homelessness is going to get the Nobel Peace Prize. And, you know, because I've studied, I've looked at the Denver project, and also...
Is that one still performing as well as it was?
As far as I know, it hasn't.
Okay.
It hasn't done that well.
I mean,
it's like
a
the Portland project.
Yeah, there are different models of
right.
giving people
right.
lodging and, or I guess a house.
Right.
It would seem if it was that simple, somebody would have found it earlier.
That's what I say.
When
it's not as simple. It's
right.
very...
When unemployment was where it was 10, 15 years ago, was there less of this part of society?
No, I don't think so.
I'm wondering how much of it is economically linked and how much of it has nothing to do with the state of the economy. It's completely separate.
Yeah, probably upset some people by saying this, but back when they closed the pulp mills, I heard supervisors say that we're throwing these people out into the street to become homeless. I was working the encampments all through that period of time. I never ran into one person. Because I talk to them, I get in conversations with them, and I never ran into one person that was a former mill worker. And I knew some of them that lost their jobs over there. They went out and got other jobs. Some of them had to leave the community, but they went out and got other jobs. They went to work. You know, the work is there if you want it bad enough. You know, my son worked at three different jobs to put himself through college, and people were crying about not having jobs at that time, and I'm going, he's going out and finding work. He's working at three different jobs. He's putting in storm windows for one company. And I forget what the other two jobs were, but he stayed busy. And so, you know, it would always upset me when I'd go into these encampments and people would say, oh, they don't have a job and they can't find a job, whatever. But I'd tell them, I said, I just drove down Broadway and I saw on things where they're saying about hiring now. And there were places that were hiring people. But yet these people were, there was a lot of them in the encampments.
So as we look ahead at this coming year, the state isn't in a robust financial situation. You've got the booking fee assessment thing that's coming down the pipe. You've got folks being returned back to the communities. The state prisons flushing through people back to their communities.
Right.
The rural law enforcement grants not being there, or possibly not being there. Why aren't you more concerned?
Well, I am concerned. I have to say optimistic, and our officers sometimes this concerns them, and I say, you know, don't worry about it. You go out and do your job. Do it the best way you can, and don't worry about the rest of the judicial system. You can't do a thing about it. And part of the problem is the cops are doing too good a job. We're overloading the justice system. They can't handle all the people that we're putting in jail.
Cops doing a better job, or they're more low-hanging fruit to pick?
No, I think the cops are doing a good job, and there's more people out there that are with what's occurring right now in the state. There's more people out there because they're being released. They're not holding people for the nonviolent type crimes, the thieves. There's going to be, I mean, we're seeing it now already with car thefts and car burglaries. That has gone way up in just the last couple of months.
That's I think you'd mentioned that a couple of shows ago.
Right.
Some of the heavy stuff was contained.
Yeah.
But that some of the not the petty stuff, but the lesser.
Yeah.
Was going up through the roof.
Right.
Well, hopefully we'll all still have a roof.
Yeah.
And you won't be having to deal with this level of activity here for the next little bit.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, Merle.
Okay.
We've been talking shop with Merle Harpum. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.